more hidden applications. We can keep going with this argument. It has such universality that once we get the bug, it's hard to look at reality with the same eyes again. Clearly, it robs our observations of their realistic power. I'll enumerate a few more cases to illustrate the weaknesses of our inferential machinery. The stability of species. Take the number of species that we now consider extinct. For a long time, scientists took the number of such species as that implied from an analysis of the extant fossils. But this number ignores the silent cemetery of species that came and left without leaving traces in the form of fossils. The fossils that we have managed to find correspond to a smaller proportion of all species that came and disappeared. This implies that our biodiversity was far greater than it seemed at first examination. A more worrisome consequence is that the rate of extinction of species may be far greater than we think. Close to 99.5% of species that transited through Earth are now extinct, a number scientists have kept raising through time. Life is a great deal more fragile than we have allowed for. But this does not mean we humans should feel guilty for extinctions around us, nor does it mean that we should act to stop them. Species were coming and going before we started messing up the environment. There's no need to feel moral responsibility for every endangered species. Does crime pay? Newspapers report on the criminals who get caught. There is no section in the New York Times recording the stories of those who committed crimes but have not been caught. So it is with cases of tax evasion, government bribes, prostitution rings, poisoning of wealthy spouses with substances that do not have a name and cannot be detected, and drug trafficking. In addition, our representation of the standard criminal might be based on the properties of those less intelligent ones who were caught. Once we seep ourselves into the notion of silent evidence, so many things around us that were previously hidden start manifesting themselves. Having spent a couple of decades in this mindset, I'm convinced, but can't prove, that training and education can help us avoid its pitfalls. The evolution of the swimmer's body. What do the popular expressions a swimmer's body and beginner's luck have in common? What do they seem to share with the concept of history? There's a belief among gamblers that beginners are almost always lucky. It gets worse later, but gamblers are always lucky when they start out, you hear. This statement is actually empirically true. Researchers confirm that gamblers have lucky beginnings. The same applies to stock market speculators. Does this mean that each one of us should become a gambler for a while, take advantage of Lady Luck's friendliness to beginners, then stop? The answer is no. The same optical illusion prevails. Those who start gambling will be either lucky or unlucky. Given that the casino has the advantage, a slightly greater number will be unlucky. The lucky ones, with a feeling of having been selected by destiny, will continue gambling. The others, discouraged, will stop and will not show up in the sample. They will probably take up, depending on their temperaments, birdwatching, Scrabble, piracy, or other pastimes. Those who continue gambling will remember having been lucky as beginners. The dropouts, by definition, will no longer be part of the surviving gambler's community. This explains beginner's luck. There's an analogy with what is called, in common parlance, a swimmer's body, which led to a mistake I shamefully made a few years ago. In spite of my specialty in this bias, I didn't notice that I was being fooled. When asking around about the comparative physical elegance of athletes, I was often told that runners looked anorexic, cyclists bottom-heavy, and weightlifters insecure and a little primitive. I inferred that I should spend some time inhaling chlorine in the New York University pool to get those elongated muscles. Now, suspend the causality. Assume that a person's genetic variance allows for a certain type of body shape. Those born with a natural tendency to develop a swimmer's body become better swimmers. These are the ones you see in your samples splashing up and down at the pools. But they would have looked pretty much the same if they lifted weights. It's a fact that a given muscle grows exactly the same way, whether you take steroids or climb walls at the local gym.